accomplishment of a unique jihad. In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Hello, dear listeners, and our heartfelt condolences to all on a doleful day. According to a narration, the 12th of the month of Muharram is a day of the martyrdom through poisoning of the survivor of the tragedy of Karbala, Imam Zainul Abidin or Imam Sajjad, peace be upon him, the fourth infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Before we present you a special feature on his life and times, please listen to Ayah 24 of Surah Sajdah of the Holy Quran, where God Almighty says regarding the righteous leaders of mankind, "We appointed imams to guide the people by our command when they had been patient and had conviction in our signs." It is the Almighty Creator alone who appoints the Imams of Guidance to lead people towards the bliss of Paradise through their patience under the most adverse of circumstances, through their piety that negates things and acts considered harmful for both the self and society, and through their prudence that always selects the best possible course, through their position on the manifest truth, and through their persuasion to adhere to divine commandments. Today, we commemorate the martyrdom anniversary of one such divinely designated imam, whose leadership the evil-minded despised for the very values mentioned above, which were deemed dangerous by tyrants who had usurped political power of the realm and resorted to every foul play to try to isolate them, even if it required the killing of these innocent souls. This is the reason for the widely prevalent injustice in our world, which is beset by hostilities, bloodshed, wars, deprivation, exploitation of the weaker sections of society, occupation of other people's lands, suppression of fellow human beings on the basis of creed, colour of skin, ethnicity, language, and the like, misuse of technology and science, and spread of pandemics such as the coronavirus pandemic. Nonetheless, the appointees of the Lord Most High have spared no effort to hold aloft the torch of guidance in every age in order to show to mankind the path of truth and to keep their faith alive in the divine promise that the earth, as foretold in all heavenly scriptures, will one day witness the emergence of the global government of peace, prosperity and justice, led by an imam of the progeny of the last and greatest messenger, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Now we can better understand why Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, refused to give the Pledge of Allegiance to the misrule of the usurper Yazid ibn Muawiyah and preferred to fight bravely to his last breath, thereby creating the immortal epic of Ashura in the desert of Karbala against the bloodthirsty Umayyad hordes, even if it meant the sacrifice of his dearest and nearest ones and the imprisonment after him of his bedridden son and successor, along with the children and women folk of the Holy Prophet's household. It was thus left to the 23-year-old Imam Ali ibn al-Hussein, Imam Zainul Abidin, peace be upon him, although in chains and fetters, in spite of his being sick, to salvage humanitarian values by unmasking hypocrisy in the courts of the tyrants themselves. His imamate started under tragic twilight of Ashura, that is the 10th of Muharram, in the year 61 AH, corresponding to 680 AD, amidst the flames of the burning encampment of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, and the heads of martyrs mounted on lances by the godless hordes, who the next day took him as a prisoner to Kufa, along with his noble aunt, Hazrat Zainab Kubra, peace be upon her, and Hazrat Umm Kulthum, peace be upon her, as well as his little sister, Hazrat Ruqayya, peace be upon her, and his wife, Fatima bint Imam Hassan, peace be upon her, and his four-year-old son, the future Imam Muhammad Baqir, peace be upon him. On seeing people lined up on the streets at the approach of the caravan of the noble captives, Imam Zainul Abidin, peace be upon him, delivered a brief but moving sermon to introduce himself and to make the Kufans realize the consequences of their sin in inviting his father and then treacherously betraying him to the forces of Yazid. I am the son of the person who was beheaded on the bank of the Euphrates, although he had not shed the blood or usurped the right of anyone. I am the son of the person who was attacked by a huge number of people and martyred when he was no longer capable of fighting and had fallen on the ground owing to weakness. It is a sufficient honor for us that our blood was shed, our property was looted, we were insulted, and our women and children were made prisoners. As the Prophet's fourth infallible heir, his sermon brought memories to the elders of the gathering of the eloquent sermon of his grandmother, the noblest ever lady, Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, who half a century earlier in Medina, following the usurpation of the right of political leadership of her husband, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, the Holy Prophet's divinely designated vicegerent, had exposed the falsity of the caliphate of the coup leaders of the scandalous gathering of Saqifa Bani Sa'idah. O people, I put you on your oath to tell me in the name of Allah whether you know that you had written letters to my father and then deceived him. You made firm promises to him and then rose to fight him. May you reap the harvest of your misdeeds in both the worlds, and may you be disgraced for the indecent policy which you have adopted. How will you face the Prophet of Allah when you are brought before him on the day of judgment, and with which eyes will you look at him? The Prophet will tell you, you have killed my children and behaved towards me dishonorably. You are not my followers. The people of Kufa had realized their folly and dismayed Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, the bloodthirsty governor of Kufa, to hurriedly send a caravan of captives of the Holy Prophet's household to Syria, to the court of the tyrant Yazid in Damascus. Here also, Imam Zainul Abidin, peace be upon him, triumphed in captivity. When asked to speak from a pulpit in Yazid's court, he dismissed the supposed minbar as a mere pile of wooden planks for its being misused for propagation of the un-Islamic rule of the Umayyads. He then delivered a moving sermon that was interrupted through recitation of the azan, although it was not yet time for the ritual prayer. When the muazzin pronounced, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. I testify that Muhammad is the messenger of God. Imam Zainul Abidin boldly asked Yazid as to whose ancestor the Prophet of Islam was. Whether yours or mine? And if mine, how could you kill the Prophet's grandson and still call yourself a Muslim? The tyrant became speechless and felt ashamed in front of the whole court. Soon he released the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, from prison and permitted them to travel to their hometown of Medina, where Imam Zainul Abidin, peace be upon him, continued to wage his jihad in a unique way for 34 years. Imam Zainul Abidin, peace be upon him, needs no introduction. Born in the year 38 AH, corresponding to 658 AD, his mother was the virtuous princess of Persia, Shahrbanu, the daughter of the Sassanid Emperor Yazdegerd III. His period of imamate was critical in view of the tussle for power between Abdullah ibn Zubayr and the Umayyads. Both were hostile to him, and the Bani Hashem clan. Both wanted to wipe out the followers of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, especially after the two uprisings in Iraq to avenge the blood of Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, the uprising of the Tawwabin, or the Penitents, led by Sulaiman ibn Surad al-Khuzai, and the uprising of Mukhtar ibn Abu Ubaidah, who managed to bring to justice the main killers of the Holy Prophet's grandson, Imam Hussein, peace be upon him. The fourth Imam, through his expounding of the tenets of Islam, through his elaborating of rights, including the rights of our own bodily organs upon us, and through his munajat, or whispered prayers and supplications to the Almighty, whose contents range from the fundamentals of faith and moral virtues to scientific issues, such as the weight of light, he bequeathed to humanity a treasure trove of guidance for success in life and salvation in afterlife. He also groomed several scholars who shouldered the task of spreading the genuine teachings of Islam to various parts of the world. So magnanimous was he that when the Umayyad rulers had no clue to stop the Byzantine coins stamped with the cross from entering the Muslim lands, he sent his son, Imam Muhammad Baqir, peace be upon him, to Damascus to set up a mint for the first ever time in Islamic history, thus saving the drain of the bullions to the Christians. Alas, in the year 95 AH, corresponding to 713 AD, Imam Zainul Abidin, peace be upon him, was martyred in Medina through a fatal dose of poison given by Walid I, the self-styled caliph, but not before he had delivered the followers of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, from the thorniest periods of their lives following the heart-rending tragedy of Karbala. Here are some wise sayings from Imam Zainul Abidin, peace be upon him. When about something one does not know, one should not be ashamed of having to learn about it. Patience is to faith what the head is to the body. One who does not have patience also lacks faith. Refrain from lying in all things, big or small, in seriousness or in jest. For when one starts lying in petty matters, soon he will have the audacity to lie in important matters also. A man need not fear Allah except on account of his own sins, and should place his hopes only with his Lord.